Well, good morning, all. Glorious New England day. Not quite as hot as it's been the last few days, but thoroughly lovely. After all, this is the first day of summer, believe it or not. Seemed like summer started kind of hot and early, but calendar-wise, this is the first day of summer, or yesterday was. So I'm going to call upon Mrs. Lear if she will open us in prayer this morning.
Well, Holy Father, we come before you a thankful and blessed people as we enter this season of summer, a new season that you prepare for us every year. It has its own unique qualities and attributes, and Lord, we are in awe of those qualities and attributes, just amazed at the things that happen from one season to the next. And this is one of growth in many ways. And we've planted things that we intend to harvest over the coming months, just in the dirt and in the ground, and water it and nurture it along. And we pray that that would be similar to what's going on in our own lives. And we look to you, Holy Spirit, for guidance, for direction, for teaching in that regard. And we look to you today as Pastor Lear's message is inspired of you, what the message that you wish for our hearts to hear today. And we thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. To you, O Lord, does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, holy, holy God Almighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubims and seraphims falling down before thee, who wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the the darkness hide thee. Though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee. Perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Oh, you're God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Well, it's wonderful to sing out to our Heavenly Father. And on this Father's Day, this is FD Day, Father's Day, June 21st, 2020. And my quips and quotes for today, Kroc said, that's the guy with McDonald's, "No, we can create faster than they can copy. A person of wide-ranging knowledge or learning, that's called a Renaissance polymath." And by the way, I have been accused, I stand accused, and I confess, yes, I am a Renaissance polymath. A pyrrhic victory, do you know what that is? It's a victory that inflicts such a devastating toll on the victor that it is tantamount to defeat. Someone who wins a pyrrhic victory has also taken a heavy toll that negates any true sense of achievement or damages long-term progress. It reflects a quote from Pyrrhus of Epirus, whose triumph against the Romans in the Battle of Asculum in 279 BC destroyed much of his forces, and while a tactical victory forced the end of his campaign. And by the way, as I have told many of my friends, I have studied warfare my entire life, from childhood even to now, pretty much every day of the year. Even more so as a Christian soldier, and even as a child studying battles by the Romans, the Greeks, the Persians, you name them, the Sikhs, every people group you can imagine, wanting to know how they won their victories, or what caused them to lose when they lost, and what really was about their courage. And of course, I can tell you, I can coordinate all of those things through biblical truth. If it be asked what the most sacred duty and the greatest source of our security in a republic, the answer would be an inviolable respect for the Constitution and laws, the first growing out of the last. Alexander Hamilton, 1794. And by the way, I consider Alexander Hamilton, of course, he's one of the founding fathers, I consider him a great man. He was a Christian. Some people don't like him. I really don't want to take the time to explain why, but he was a great American, and he fought in the Revolution and said many worthwhile things. We must all hang together, or assuredly we will all hang separately. Who said that? Benjamin Franklin. He knew what he was talking about. Let justice be done though the heavens should fall. John Adams, 1777. The opinion which gives to the judges the right to decide what laws are constitutional and what not only for themselves in their own, own sphere of action, but for the legislature and executive also in their spheres would make the judiciary a despotic branch. Thomas Jefferson, 1804, and this week, the people of America have been backstabbed by the Supreme Court justices Roberts, and also one of the newer ones that came on. And so when I think about what they have done and the ruling that they brought out, which is going to be overturned, it has to be overturned. Neil Gorsuch was who I was referring to. You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Now that sounds like the words of a philosopher, but actually it was Johnny Mercer, who was a singer, a songwriter, band leader, and so forth. I look for truth wherever I can find it. How about you? Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and success of liberty. That was President John F. Kennedy that said that, and I can affirm the truth of that in my own life. What makes a great advocacy organization, and I've certainly formed many of them, been part of many of them, access, credibility, vision, and determination. Access, credibility, vision, and determination. And that's one of the reasons why I do what I do, and who I do it with, and when I do what I do with who I do it with. For all the people trying to figure me out. And by the way, I haven't even figured myself out yet, so you probably ought to spend time trying to figure something else out or someone else out. Now I'm going to call upon Mrs. Lear to read some scriptures before I go into my message today. So, Mrs. Lear, please have at it, if you will, dear.
All right, beginning with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Proverbs 22, verse 6, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, I will be a father to him, and he'll be a son to me. When he does wrong, I'll discipline him in the usual ways, the pitfalls and obstacles of this mortal life, but I'll never remove my gracious love from him. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 23, verse 24. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. Psalm 32, verses 7 and 8. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. I will guide you in the way of wisdom, and I will lead you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. So he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? In reading those scriptures, I can certainly look back on my own childhood and my own father, who is much loved in my heart. I happen to be an only child, and so I had, I guess I would say, the luxury of having 100% of my dad as dad. And, you know, I think of him in so many different ways and admire him for all he did and gave up for me. Many ways that he sacrificed, and yet it was never, ever apparent to me that he felt that it was any kind of a burden. It was a privilege to him to be a father and to be able to raise a daughter. And we shared a great deal. He certainly did discipline me when I needed discipline, and I can tell you that I was so tuned into him as my dad, and I thought so much of him that it didn't take a spanking. All it took was the look. You know, that look that says, what you just did does not meet with my approval. I taught you better, and you know better. And I did. He was right. And I'm thankful that his manner was such with me. I appreciate that. I appreciate all the opportunities that he gave me. He was never one to say to me, oh, you can't do that. He just gave me information, and he cleared a path for me, and he encouraged me to experience things, to try things, and let whatever happened, within reason, of course, he wasn't going to let me be in harm's way, but sometimes in the learning process, things go wrong, or things don't work like you want them to, and they may hurt, and there may be failures, but that's part of learning, and he was so good about that. He didn't try to do everything for me, but he gave me an opportunity to have experiences in the proper context and learn from those. So I could go on and on. It would be very easy for me to do. I have many great memories of my dad as provider, as just such a special person, and not only to me, but to a lot of other people as well. But he filled that father role for some people who didn't have fathers, and I'm pretty proud of him for it. So thank you for letting me share that with you.
At another time, I want to facilitate you going on and on about Gordon, your father, and being his only child, of course, and making sure that his memory lives through the generations in your remembrance, and anyone else would listen to that, and memories of your father. I think that's a wonderful subject for a future program that we will do at length. This Father's Day, of course, gives us opportunity, just as we have had in already, to thank the Lord for fathers, thank our Heavenly Father for fathers, and Father's Day, The call today is for Christian heroes. And that was said by U.S. Senate Chaplain Peter Marshall. Now, it's interesting why I'm quoting him here and giving you some history of Father's Day. It's because I knew Chaplain Peter Marshall's son. I knew him personally. And what a great man Peter Marshall Jr., who's gone to be with the Lord. Another tall man. I could see eye to eye with him, standing up or sitting down, which is unusual in most cases. Great thinker, very intelligent, great preacher, great teacher. I appreciated so much his friendship and his encouragement to me. He was slightly older than myself. And I can tell you that Chaplain Peter Marshall did a good job raising his son and implanting in his son great values. Well, the first formal Father's Day was celebrated June 19th. In 1910 in Seattle, Washington. And isn't that ironic that right now Seattle, Washington, if I could summarize what's going on there, is burning. Rioting and takeover by gangs in Seattle, Washington, by people, and this will be a little bit more of a commentary, by people who obviously didn't have a father or didn't have a good father or had an absentee father or whatever. Because if they did, in all likelihood, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. It was actually a daughter, Sonora Louise Smart Dodd, what a great name, heard a church sermon on the newly established Mother's Day and wanted to honor her father, Civil War veteran William Jackson Smart, who had raised six children by himself after his wife died in childbirth. That's an amazing feat, isn't it? We hear of mothers raising children with no father, but rarely do we ever hear commendations of fathers who raise children without a mother or without a wife. Sonora Louise Smart Dodd drew up a petition supported by the Young Men's Christian Association and the ministers of Spokane to celebrate Father's Day. Woodrow Wilson spoke at Spokane Father's Day service in 1916, of course, and the world was at war, basically at that time, World War I. On December 6, 1904, back up a little bit, President Theodore Roosevelt addressed Congress. He said, "No Christian and civilized community can afford to show a happy-go-lucky lack of concern for the youth of today. For if so, the community will have to pay a terrible penalty of financial burden and social degradation in the tomorrow." Well, folks, wasn't that a prophetic statement by Theodore Roosevelt? And by the way, I like Theodore Roosevelt. Some people said they don't. Well, I liked him. And by the way, his son, General Theodore Roosevelt Jr., died in war. He wasn't like some rich kid who stayed away from the war. He actually led troops and died in battle. In 1972, President Nixon established Father's Day as a permanent national observance, Proclamation 4127. Yes, President Nixon. I guess he must have had a good enough father that he believed that he needed to make a proclamation as POTUS, President of the United States. To have a father, to be a father, is to come very near to the heart of life itself. How many people would say that today? Most people would say, oh, having a mother, and denigrate fathers. In fatherhood, we know the elemental magic and joy of humanity. In fatherhood, we even sense the divine, as the scriptural writers did, who told of all good gifts coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Symbolism so challenging to each man would give his own son or daughter a life of light without shadow. Nixon also added, our identity in the name and nature, our roots in home and family, our very standard of manhood, all this and more is the heritage of our fathers that is shared with us. It has long been our national custom to observe each year one special Sunday in honor of America's fathers. And from this year forward, by a joint resolution of Congress, approved April 24, 1972, the custom carries the weight of law. Let each American make this Father's Day an occasion for renewal of the love and gratitude we bear to our fathers, increasing and enduring through all the years. Now, therefore, I, Richard Nixon, President of the United States of America, do hereby request that June 18th, 1972, be observed as Father's Day. So, as Paul Harvey once said, now you know the truth. What are you going to do about it? The title of my message today, and we've already had scripture reading and a great exhortation by those scriptures. Pay attention to that. I haven't really counted up how many scriptures deal with fatherhood. I'm going to say at least 30. And when you refer to God our Father, more than that in both the Old and New Testament. And it touches my heart to hear my wife speak well of her husband. She does speak well of her husband too. That's me. Speak well of her father. I speak well of him as well. And I can see the influence he had on her life, and I am benefiting from that beautiful relationship that he had with her. And I can tell you, I know of a situation where when a woman did not have a good relationship with her father for various reasons, and how that impacted her. But that's a subject for another story. But my theme, if you will, today for the message is the heart of a father. And by the way, believe it or not, Garrett Lear actually had a father. Yes, I did. I had a father who, if he had lived longer, and if he was alive now, would be 95 years of age. That's kind of freaky, if you will, to be able to say, gee, my dad, 95 years of age, and here I am, 72. Well, do the math. My dad was very young when I was born. He had just come back from the Second World War and the traumas of that as a decorated World War II veteran in combat. In a lot of combat. In dangerous combat. And he became a husband, and then a year and a half or so later, after becoming a husband, he became a father. And he got a beautiful, bouncing baby boy. I am the firstborn son of the firstborn son for numerous generations. And even as my father was very young when I was born, his father was very young when he was born. And my grandfather's father was very young when he was born. And my great-grandfather was very young. His father was very young. Well, you know what I'm getting at. Very young fathers. And I can tell you, I know a lot more about fatherhood now at 72 than I knew long ago. when I became a father, and I was much older than my father when I became a father. But I knew, I mean, I sort of grew up with my father. And so having Father's Day and the, I try to honor my dad every day of the week, so to speak. I honor my Heavenly Father, but I honor my earthly father by doing the things that he taught me to do, mostly. And I should say, I had a good father. He wasn't a godly father in the sense of a godly father quoting scripture, going to church with me, but he certainly took me to church, dropped me off. He was not against me going to church. He was rather profane, although I have to clarify, compared to women today, young women today, my dad wasn't profane at all. Many young women today are so profane that it would even make my father blush. But like I said, my dad was a soldier as a young man. He said a lot of things that probably shouldn't have said, but he taught me a lot of great ethics. And though only God can read anyone's heart, the older I've gotten, the more I realize my father had a heart for me. He loved me. And I have good memory. Yes, my dad and I fought. We argued. We actually hooked it out numerous times. Which when I got saved, when I became a born-again Christian, the first thing I wanted to do was call up and ask my father's forgiveness for the times that I fought with him. And I got bigger than him by 14 years old, and I prevailed over him physically. And when I said to him, "Dad, please forgive me," he said, "Forgive you? That was good. You just showed me that you were a man." So we had an interesting relationship over the years. But I can actually look back in my growing up years, nobody ever got away with hurting his son. Nobody. I never lacked for anything. And even in the early days of his marriage, early days of being a father, when he wasn't doing quite so well in business and prospering financially, my sister and I, my sister's now deceased and she's my younger sister, we never wanted for anything. My dad made us work for things. He taught us how to work, and he taught us how to work smartly. And he taught us things what would happen to us in the street if we didn't pay attention or whatever else, but nobody ever harmed us and got away with it. He protected us. He loved us, although he was not the touchy-feely, huggy kind of guy. But I have remembrances of him numerous times. Went away to the army. Even when I went away to school. When he dropped me off at the military academy, he turned away from me quickly because he was actually crying. And he had always taught me that big boys don't cry. Tough guys don't cry. And I thought, what a contradiction. You've taught me this, and there I see you crying. But I came to realize what that meant was that he had the heart of a father. And he loved me. And he was crying because even though I was a very hard son to raise, I know that now, I admit it. I was a very hard son to raise. I think my grandmother indicated to me, and my grandfather indicated to me, that my father was kind of a hard son to raise too. Like I said, oldest son of the oldest son. But when I would get letters in the mail from my dad, and he always wrote to me, and he didn't write pages and pages, and it wasn't flowery language, that wasn't him. But he always put at the end of every letter, I can see his handwriting, I can see, and he had very good handwriting for a rugged guy like him. He always put, "Love, Dad." Because I had a dad who loved me, was there for me. He didn't tell me yes all the time. No matter how much I pleaded and begged and cajoled him to tell me yes, when he believed the answer was no, nothing I could do could change that. Because he had the heart of a father. And he was with me in my growing up. And the good news is, I was with him when he died. I led him to Christ before he died. I did the best thing for him that I could do. And I lived the life, though he did not want me to be a preacher. For that matter, he really didn't want me to be a soldier because he didn't want me to get killed in combat. And he knew the kind of kid I was, that I was going to probably get killed in combat. Because he had the heart of a father. And I have stood before many groups of terrorists, you name the group, whether it's Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Occupy Boston, Occupy Wall Street, many, many different groups. And you know that I have cried over them? Not because I was afraid of them. I cried over them because I believe that my Heavenly Father said they are like children without fathers. And I know people get very freaked out and very upset and want to tear me apart for saying that fatherlessness in America is a serious blight on our society. And we as a people and a country need to do something about that. The heart of a father. Now, I know that there are many of you listening to this message that are probably saying, "You don't know the father I had, what he did to me, and how he abused me, and how he hurt me, and he was this, and he was that." And I do feel badly for you in that situation. And I'm not ridiculing anybody in that situation. But as I've often said, instead of saying, well, let's say that fatherhood is not necessary, we don't need fathers. We do need fathers. We need better fathers. And just like the quote from Peter Marshall, the chaplain, the call today is for Christian heroes. Well, I want to tell you something. My father was no Christian, really. I mean, he'd been hurt by church as an altar boy in the Catholic Church, to be specific. At my uncle's wedding, and my father chose not to marry a Catholic and not to be married in the Catholic Church. He was married in the Episcopal Church. And he was excommunicated from being a Catholic, which was very disturbing to my grandmother and others. But he did come to the church for my uncle's wedding, and the priest said, "Albert, you're not supposed to be here. You're excommunicated." And my father actually grabbed him and was going to punch him. And we were all saying, I said, "Dad, don't punch the priest." And I'm thinking in my head, that priest deserves to be punched. "But don't do it, Dad." And my grandmother was begging him, "Albert, let him go. He's a priest. You can't hit a priest." He said, "Well, a priest just told me I can't come to this church for my brother's wedding. That was the kind of guy my father was, because he had a father's heart. And his brother, his younger brother, who was more like a brother to me, because he was very much younger than my father felt very fatherly towards him. And so as I've gotten older, and because I have the heart of a father, I have the heart of the Father in heaven who saved me, and I have the heart of a father because I have children and raised children, and none of them were killed, none of them were harmed and murdered or any of those kind of things like that. And foster children that I took in, I go around now saying, if you didn't have a father and you want one, I'll adopt you. I'll be your father. Or if you don't have a grandfather, I had two grandfathers that I knew who influenced me in my life, and I love both of them. I'll be your grandfather. Because I love being a father. I love being a grandfather. Because I have the heart of a father. And I had a father who had a heart of a father. Even though he had a hard time expressing it. I remember my grandmother, when my father died, wanted my father to have a very expensive funeral and wanted me to pay for it. And I said, Grandma, I'm going to honor my dad in any way that I possibly can, but I cannot afford an expensive funeral. He was a veteran. I'll make sure he has a veteran headstone. He's got a place to be buried that's honorable in Lexington, Massachusetts. And she said, well, you owe it to him. He treated you well. I said, Grandma, there's no doubt about that. We talked about this. I talked with my dad what he wanted. He said, don't worry about it. I'm a vet. You know, I'll go to the veterans hospital or whatever else. I don't care what you do with me. You know, put me in a boat and light me on fire like the Vikings or something like that. I said, Grandma, I am going to honor my dad. And yes, you're right. He was good to me. He had the heart of a father for his son and for his daughter. Did he do right every time? Did he make the right decision every time? Well, of course not. Who does? But I had a father every day of my life until I was 43 years old when he passed away. So for 43 years, my mother was gone when I was 21. She died, was killed. But I had my father till I was 43. The heart of a father. Now, as you're listening to this message today, if you have children and you have not raised them and loved them the way you should have, first of all, ask the Lord to forgive you for that sin. And second of all, go to your children, even if they're adult children, and ask for their forgiveness. Don't be surprised if they don't forgive you. Don't be surprised if they tell you certain things you really don't want to hear. But ask for forgiveness anyway and be done with it. And hopefully they will receive your apology and give you forgiveness and you can go on. And of course, the third thing is do penance. Now, I'm not a Roman Catholic, so when I say do penance, I want to let you know I am doing penance myself in life for a lot of things. Now, what do you mean? I mean that I tell people about the things I did wrong and why they were wrong, and I continue to do that. Yesterday, when I spoke at the state capitol, I said, I'm fessing up in front of all you people. Now, I know when you fess up to anything, it could be used against you. But see, the thing is, if you've already fessed up before the Lord, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No tongue that stands against you will stand. That's the Lord's promise. The heart of a father. And if you have the heart of a father, as I said in closing yesterday, that which we do well, we can even do better. that which we do well, we can even do better. The heart of a father. Let's encourage men to do better, even that they're the ones that are doing well. And the Bible prescribes for husbands what they need to do to love their wives, and husbands and fathers how to love their children, and older fathers, and I want to do that with younger fathers, encouraging them how to love their children the way the Lord wants them to be loved, so they can grow up into healthy, happy, productive adults who will reproduce healthy, happy, productive adults. Do you get the math in that and the formulation? I know that it sounds very simple and it's more difficult in a sinful, fallen world, but it is, in the common vernacular, it's doable. Let's pray. Nobody's heart of a father is better than you, our Heavenly Father, or you, our Savior Jesus, that you looked upon us as your friends, as your flock, as your children, and were willing to die for us the way a father says, I will be willing to die for my family, for my children. Or somebody like George Washington, called the father of our country, who was willing to die for the people of his country, for his constituency. We don't see that kind of devotion very much anymore because we don't honor it the way we should. And that's why we have FD Day, Father's Day. We have VD Day. We have Mother's Day. MD Day, but we don't do much for FD Day, Father's Day. But we're changing that. My wife and me, we are changing that because we're honoring our dads and we're telling people how we honor our dads, and we honor our dads by living the good way that they taught us to live. And like eating fish, we spit out the bones. The things that we were taught that are wrong, that are not biblical and not from the heart of Father God, we throw those out. We spit those out. And we eat the fish. And this we pray in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Happy Father's Day, fathers out there. We want to give you a high five, a thumbs up. Amen.